Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th. I can't believe I'm saying this. The 28th day of October, Anno Domini 2023. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. But first, before we do the news, because I left it in my bag, let us... let us thank Ken and Lorraine for their lovely gifts.
Yes, very nice of them to do that up for us.
Very sweet. Thank you so much. I will cherish it. It's great. Thank you. Also, we are, of course, still in a pledge drive. We really, really could use your assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So please...
Your support's what keeps us on the air. I mean, without it, you know, Rob could drop us in a hot moment.
That's exactly right.
He could wind up just, you know, putting in music.
His first loyalty has to be to what brings the station money.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not bringing in cash, then he's got to cut the bleeding and find something that will bring in revenue.
That's right.
Because that's the only thing that keeps this station. We're only a small slice, folks. Think about it. We're 2 hours out of a whole week.
168 of them.
Yeah. All 24 hours times 7 days, that's a lot of time that you could be listening to jazz music. But no, he takes a Saturday right in prime time as people are out shopping, doing yard work, or just working around the house. I know a number of mailmen that have said over the years they love turning this on in their cars, you know, their truck as they're driving around. It makes their day, and they learn quite a bit.
Yes. Sure.
So we're sorry for all your mail that gets delayed because he has to listen for the answer.
That's exactly right.
Yep. But we're here, and we're here every Saturday. We still don't get paid, Nick told me.
It's true.
Yeah. You keep hoping.
You were sitting down. It hasn't happened yet. But we get lovely people like Ken and Lorraine who give us a little presence, and we love that. But the fact is that without your support, we aren't here. So please make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. And then if you'd like to talk to us, she'll pass you right on. So that you can ask us the question. But in the meantime, I'm going to read the news. Most Android users have probably never seen Google Play Protect in action. The malware scanning service is built into every Android device. And I want to apologize for my voice. Clearly, over the last couple of days, every plant on the planet has had an orgy. And they're all in my head right now.
I'm with you on that one. It's like, relief for the sinuses, please.
Can't wait for the first killing frost.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I just can't wait.
Well, I've grown
and then that's enough. It can stop.
And then it can stop.
Yeah. Great fondness with my neti pot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that has been the biggest savior.
Right. Anyway, the malware scanning service, Google Play Protect, is built into every Android device and is supposed to flag malware that users have installed. Recently, it flagged some popular apps that are very much not malware. Samsung Wallet and Samsung Messages.
Oops.
Samsung users have been getting hit with Play Protect warnings since earlier this month. Users on the Google support forum have posted screenshots of Play Protect flagging the Samsung system apps, and even Samsung responded to the issues, explaining in Korean how to fix any damage caused by the bug. Samsung says through translation the issue was caused by a temporary failure of the Google server and should now be fixed. Samsung Wallet and Samsung Messages both come bundled with most Samsung phones as system apps, so they have a wide install base. When Play Protect flags an app as harmful, it pops up a message suggesting users remove the app, but since these are both system apps, they cannot be removed. Users can only disable them. With the issue resolved, Samsung says you can get the app back up and running by going into the app settings and re-enabling them through your, though your settings may have probably been deleted. Some users were working around this bug by disabling Play Protect scanning, and it's probably best to turn that back on. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google falsely flags Samsung apps as harmful. Your choices are, I got that and disabled the apps. I got that and ignored it. I don't have a Samsung phone. I don't know what phone I have. And phone? So far, we've got 18 votes with phone, number one at 9 votes, and I don't have a Samsung phone at 7. Two people said they got that and ignored it. I do want to point out, last week's poll was about, hi, how are you?
It was a whole week ago.
Last week's poll was about Windows 11 adoption is low, and people voted really kind of what their preferred Windows version is. And I see that Dave voted twice because Emmy Forever, baby, got 2 votes.
But I have seen this issue with and heard about from smaller developers. A lot of the malware scanning is also based on the reputation of the program. And so the first time they release a major update, when you know, like a lot of the code is different, so the code signings are different, it'll get flagged as possible malware until it gets enough of a reputation. Enough people say no in their malware program that this is not malware and run anyway. But I always have a fight trying to run Nearsoft's password manager, or not password managers, password peaking programs. No one can remember their password, so I have to dig into the registry and find it.
Oh, yeah.
Every security program I run across says, oh, this is malware, and deletes it. Even before I get a chance to say run anyway, it's already deleted it.
Oh, jeez.
So I keep having to remember to turn off their AV so I can run it to get their password so I can install their new computer.
And then put it back.
And then turn it back on.
Yeah.
How many times people say I don't have a password?
One of the things I don't like about the Samsung apps is they're a different mechanism for backing up. So if you have an Android phone and you use Google's apps like Messenger and like that, when you go to a new phone, all your messages, all your contacts, everything else follows you automatically. But if you use Samsung and you move to another Samsung phone, maybe you get them if you do it right. But if you move to a non-Samsung phone, you don't. You're still in the Android ecosystem, but because you're using the Samsung apps, unless you reinstall those apps, you may lose your contacts, you may lose your messages, you may lose all kinds of things. So I much prefer to use the Google.
I like the Google Wallet. I'm seeing more and more. Matter of fact, we were at one restaurant, and the one thing I like about it is now they'll come around because they've got either tablets or, these devices that, you know, you can just tap and the phone, tap it and pay that way. Like you said, not like the old days, handing over your credit card and then it disappears for a while in a back room where who knows who else could, you know, make
the
a copy.
The lowest paid employees in America have their
hands on
it.
Make a copy of it or whatever. You know, you've got full control over it.
Right.
It's a blessing in disguise.
The other day, we had my wife's car in for maintenance, and she went to pick it up, and I gave her my credit card. And I said, I'll grab lunch on the way home. What do you want? So I get home, and my wife says, I had your credit card. How did you, because I don't usually carry cash. I said, well, I didn't even think about it. I have my phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
I paid with my phone. I don't, I pay with my phone everywhere because the credit cards I have all have one-time feature, whereas when you pay, it makes up a fake
number
and then uses that. And so if somebody does steal that number somehow.
When someone steals it,
it's useless to them.
Yeah, because it no longer exists.
It no longer works. So I everywhere I go, including getting gas, everything else, I pay with my phone.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom. Just make sure that the credit cards you put in have that one-time feature.
Well, even I go to like BJ's. BJ's is now getting the tap to pay. Instead of having to put your credit card in, they're having it very soon to be able to just scan with your phone. And I think more and more gas stations are going to go that way, too.
Yeah, I've seen gas stations starting to add that, too, because that's one of the most popular places to put a credit card skimmer to capture credit cards and pins is at a gas station, because people are usually in a hurry. They're not paying attention. They just want to fill their car and go. And in fact, on the other side of that, I also read that's a very common place to use stolen credit cards.
Yeah.
I read about someone who they were filling up their, you know, fleet of, you know, four or five delivery vans. And on the third one, their credit card got declined because a white van pulled into a gas station and bought $50 worth of gas. And then 10 minutes later, same gas station, same credit card, $50 worth of gas.
Yep. So that's a feature that's actually good.
Yeah.
Because it saves you from that. But I much prefer to keep my credit card in the little RFID envelope in my wallet.
Protection.
And use my phone. So of course, just like everybody should do, I check my balances on my various things at least once a day, if not two or three times
daily.
It takes 2 minutes. How is that a big deal?
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Good morning, guys. I'm proud to be a member.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, I called you because I wanted to get a program on my MacBook that required me to upgrade my OS. So I went from, I think it was 10.14 to 10.15. And now everything works except that iTunes doesn't exist. Instead, they've replaced it with something called Music. And I can no longer see the playlists on my iPod, which is an iPhone 5.
All the functionality of iTunes Music Syncing is in the Music app, so it should show you those playlists. Are you trying to sync it to your iPod? Yeah, because the syncing.
I want to add podcasts.
Okay.
To
yeah.
Particular playlists.
The syncing services of iTunes are now in the Finder. So you plug your iPod, iPhone in, and it will show up in the Finder sidebar. And what used to be the iTunes sync controls are now built into the Finder instead of into the Music app. So iTunes started out 20 years ago as a music player.
Right.
And then they added TV shows and movies and a store and books and apps, and it got to be so complicated. So now in 10.15, a couple years ago, they split everything out. So now there's a music app, a podcast app, a books app, and the syncing features where you sync your music to your phone have been put down on the desktop where you're used to manipulating your files. But it doesn't say that anywhere unless you go look.
Right.
When you plug your phone in, just go to the Finder on the desktop, and in the sidebar there'll be an icon for your phone, and you'll see all of the old iTunes syncing features there to add to your playlists and change your syncing settings.
Okay, so I go to the Finder, which I'm in, and I see iPhone.
And then when you click on that, yep.
It did say something about sync, but I have to turn off where's my phone or something, which I don't think I have. But even when I did this, I still wasn't able to see my playlists. And the only thing I've been able to do was to create a new playlist in Music put some stuff on there and then drag it into my iPhone. And most of the time that works in adding it to the phone pod.
When you select your phone in the Finder, in the sidebar, on the right-hand side, it will show you your phone with a bunch of tabs, general music, movies, TV shows, photos.
Right, got that up.
And that's where you tell it under music that you want to sync your music, and then underneath that is the list of playlists that that you have that can sync.
It doesn't have the, let me see if I do.
You have to scroll down. And, yeah, there are you can see sort by artist, by album, by genre, or by playlist.
Okay, well, now it's saying, are you sure you want to remove existing music, films, TVs, et cetera, from this iPhone and sync with the library?
Did it used to be synced to a different computer?
No.
Yeah, all right, so the new OS, it may think it's a different computer. One of the concessions Apple made to the music industry is you can only sync an iPod to one computer so that you can't take your iPod to your friend's house and steal all their music.
I see.
And now that you have a new OS, it may think it's a different computer. And so it's going to erase it and sync it all with the same settings that carried over from the system upgrade, but then it will be synced to now the new computer with the new OS.
Okay, so it should retain everything that was on there before.
Well, it's going to erase everything that's on there now and resync it to your current settings. The settings in the music app should be the same as they were in the iTunes app previously.
So
but
as
you may
long
want to go
as all
through
the
those
music,
tabs.
So as long as all the music and movies, et cetera, that are on the iPod are also now on the Mac, they should sync back over with no trouble.
They should sync back, yep.
Okay. Okay, and then will I be able to see individual playlists?
Yes, in on the computer they show in the playlist tab, and then on the iPod there's a playlist menu.
Yeah, on the computer in the Finder there is not a a playlist tab.
It should be under the music tab, and then. And then artists, albums, genres, playlists. There's another tab near the bottom of that.
But I can't get to it. It's all grayed out until I sync it, actually, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, you have to turn syncing on first.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Ed.
And I had posted that link a while ago, and I will bump it to the top of the link list again.
While we're waiting... we'd like to thank Greg for his donation. And remember, you too can donate to the station. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your help. Please give us a call. Give us a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. While you do that, we will talk to Chuck from Penfield, New York. Hiya, Chuck. What's up?
Hi, gentlemen. I've been wrestling with something for the past couple of years, and finally I've thrown up my hands and decided to call the experts. I have a piece of software, OmniPage, which is an OCR product software. In the process of installing, it also installs something called Software Updater or Software Manager. From someone called, FlexNet? Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah, you got some bloatware there.
Yeah, and I have just been beating my head against the wall trying to figure out how to uninstall this. They don't have an uninstaller. It doesn't show up in the menu. It doesn't show up on installed programs.
Have you tried Revo?
I've tried Revo. When I go to Revo, it comes up with pages and pages and pages of registry entries that almost look like, since it's a, quote, software manager, it appears that it's got its fingers into all the software you've got. So I'm a little hesitant to go down and manually pick through which registry entries to keep and not keep. I'm looking for a little more hands-off approach. There, apparently, You can go to their website and download their uninstaller, but I'm a little bit hesitant to download something else from these guys since I've already got something that
Revo uninstaller, yes, you'll see, you know, literally, it could be a couple hundred registry entries. But like you said, it's just fingers. They just put their fingers into it as a connection to their program. With Revo, if you select to uninstall that one manager program, it will just uninstall just that.
Well, the thing is, well, Revo doesn't even find it. I have to go and use the Revo, what do they call this thing, the hunt method or the hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to go to the actual executable. And when it does that, and I also find registry entries in there for now the OmniPage OCR product. So mm-hmm. So it picks up everything.
So OmniPage may have used FlexNet for their installer and updater service.
Right.
And,
so am I doomed here? apparently, it's not really doing anything harmful. It's just the pain in the keister because every now and then it pops up and says, oh, I got all this kind of stuff for you. And it's like, oh, go away and be quiet. I got things to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to be helpful by letting you know when an update is available. Most of the time, updates are good, you know, bug fixes and whatnot.
Right, right.
And so some programs build their own update service in. It looks like this FlexNet is a solution that they sell to other companies who don't want to build their own.
Right, okay.
So it's probably safe to download their installer.
Or their uninstaller, you mean?
Their uninstaller, yeah. One of the tricks that I've been reading about is send it to VirusTotal. Tell VirusTotal to scan the installer link, and it will scan it for known malware.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to try to find a procedure on doing that. But they've been talking about it on Steve Gibson. And so someone brought up the question, well, what if a really smart bad guy recognizes that the query is coming from VirusTotal and it gives it a good version?
Oh.
But when an average person is downloading, it gives them the bad version. So you download it yourself and then give it to VirusTotal if you want to be really safe. So you can download without installing is the key there.
And it's called VirusTotal.
VirusTotal website, yeah.
Okay.
They are a website that tracks viruses.
Okay.
And they have a scanner that, in addition to like scanning your computer, like most antivirus programs do,
right?
You can give it an installer, and it will look into that installer to see if it's a valid installer or not.
But that still won't stop the installer from getting its fingers in like the software updater.
Correct.
If it's not considered malware, it'll let it. Thank you.
Right.
If it's not
true malware, but it's
right.
Another get your fingers in the.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Two things. One, while you're installing the program, and this just happens to be not only this one, but any other program, when you're installing them, you've got to watch what you're clicking.
Yeah, I check all of that.
That's what makes me think it's...
Yeah,
it's
there's nothing
included
that
in there.
Right,
yeah.
But sometimes people will sit there and do a search. Say I want to get program X.
Yeah.
So I do a search, and all of a sudden this one website pops up to the top.
Yeah.
The problem with that one sometimes, and a number of programs, is it also includes others' bloatware into it that you can't stop. And I always suggest looking down, you know, the list of searches to sometimes, like, say, with OmniPage. Just find a simple OmniPage install that's not with all this bloatware. Because as you're installing it, it'll usually tell you that it's going to add this or that.
Well, I'm installing from a disk.
Right, and so what he's got, FlexNet, is a licensing server implementation.
Right.
So what it does is it checks, every time he runs the program, it checks to see that he has a valid license, and it will also inform him if there's an update.
Yep.
That's what the software does. And
it's only supposed to work on the OmniPage software that it's coupled with. It seems like it's... got its fingers into the rest of my system, too.
Well,
and any other software you have that uses this service.
Yeah, right, so it'll look for all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if it was just applied to this one, but it seems like it's in everywhere, and that's what I don't want.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Okay.
Well, and some of that is just on how the registry works.
Yeah.
That everything in the registry can sort of see everything else.
But if they have an uninstaller, it probably is not a bad idea to use it.
Okay. All right. All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye.
I'm trying to download it now and send it to VirusTotal and see what it says.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 31 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, so call us, 585-966-5299, 800-790-0415. We'll see you on the other side. It's Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 37 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Rich from Irondequoit on the line. What's up, Rich?
Hi, guys. A couple of tiny questions. You don't need to elaborate because there must be other people waiting. How does one pay with their telephone when they buy something?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. Another one, or do you want to answer that first?
Well, you use an app that's a wallet. Apple has their Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they call it a wallet.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Apple Wallet. There's the Google Wallet. There's the Samsung Wallet. And what you do is you download that particular app. I use the Google Wallet. You download that app, and you put your credit card in it. And you just follow the instructions. They're a little different for every device, but... you put your credit card information into there, and then you have to have a phone that has an NFC chip in it, near field communications. It's the tap to pay thing.
Got it.
So once you do that, so when I go to pay for something, I pull up and I hold up my phone, and they say Apple Pay, and I say yes because they're stupid and it's just easier.
Yeah, it's all the same thing.
I'm not going to spend
Google
20
Pay
minutes.
And Samsung Pay are the same thing.
Same
but,
thing.
Well, actually, there can be a difference in the back end.
Yeah, but
not also, yeah. I use my watch.
We're not doing that.
Right. So then I open up the pay app, the wallet app, pick the credit card I want, and then hold my phone up just like I would hold up my tap to pay card. It beeps and says, there it is, and it's in, and I'm done.
You open your wallet, you open your phone up to the Google Wallet app when you pay?
Yes.
Okay.
And you bring up the credit card you want to use.
Because you can have more than one credit card in
your
wallet.
Have, yes.
You can have.
And as Nick said earlier, what's really nice about that is the wallet app generates a random credit card number to give to the vendor. So when that vendor gets breached, and you know they're gonna, your real credit card number is never lost. Yeah.
Got it. Yep. You did explain that before. That was good. So if my phone does not have NFC, then it will not accept the wallet issue, and I...
Right.
Well, a lot of them will take the wallet anyway because you can use it to manage your credit cards as well. But in that case, you can use something like Venmo or Cash App. There are what's usually called peer-to-peer payment programs, like Venmo and Cash and Zelle and PayPal. They were originally designed for you to pay another person. You know, a bunch of people go out to eat. One guy puts it on the credit card, and everyone else Venmos him the rest of the money. But we're starting to see a lot of businesses take it. We'll take several of those. We stopped taking PayPal because they started charging us fees.
Right.
Because businesses have to pay credit card fees, some as high as 5% or more. And so, you know, we joked that New York State makes 8%. Credit card company makes 5%. We don't make any money on a sale.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so a lot of businesses, and it's even, you know, smaller cafes, it used to be really hard to get a merchant services account to accept credit cards for a small business. So now a lot of people are using, in fact, Square has an entire cash register, you know, point of sale system with a tablet and a reader and a printer. And a lot of companies just do that instead of going the whole old-fashioned cash register route.
I got another question.
Yeah.
If you're done.
Yeah.
You mentioned Samsung on the phone with their apps, and I don't like Samsung on my phone, even though the phone's made by them, and I would prefer to use Google all the way. Can I delete everything that's Samsung on my phone that is
no.
Samsung and still have the phone work?
No, they're built into the phone. You can disable them.
Or hide them off your screen.
Or you can just not use them, and you can load up all the Google apps instead. But you cannot delete a Samsung app from a Samsung phone. Most Samsung apps from most Samsung phones.
And most phones are like that. You can swipe and see all the apps that are on the phone, but you can pick and choose on which ones appear on the different screens that you have on your phone.
Yeah, so
and I can, the word delete wouldn't apply then, but I can remove them from the
You can disable them, so they no
disable
longer...
Disable is the word. Yep.
They no longer work, but they still show up in your list.
So then you go into the messaging settings and say, I want to use the Google messaging app and the contact
right.
app, and you have to go into each of your app preferences and tell it to use, say, the Google app rather than the Samsung app.
Right, and you do that in settings.
Yeah. Same thing in Verizon phones. They have their own app for backup and photo syncing and all that other stuff because they want to suck you into their ecosystem. It's like every vendor wants to suck you into their ecosystem.
Oh, right.
Of course, they make money.
Yep.
So then I would go to settings, and then a keyword there is apps, and take it from there.
I think it's default. Hold on a second.
Android, Samsung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, under apps.
Right.
One of the choices is default apps.
Default?
Default apps.
Or default.
Okay.
Or default. So, for example, under default apps, under settings, under apps, under default apps.
Right.
I have a choice of what my home app is. What launcher I use. I have the Pixel launcher because I have a Pixel phone. I have a choice of my phone app, and I'm using Google's phone app as my default phone app. And I have a choice of what SMS app, which is the messaging app, and the one I use is Messages, which is the Google one.
Mess it with an S, because one has got an S and one hasn't, I believe.
Right, and one of them has a blue cartoon word balloon, and the other one is a different color, and the Google one is blue.
So you've got your own blue versus green?
Yes.
Oh.
And I'm posting a link from Android Central on how to do this as well.
There you
okay,
go.
Thank you. One more thing.
Yeah.
I am watching you guys on television, however... It's 10:21 and not 10:28. Why is that? Because I'm watching last week's performance.
Yes.
A show. How do I watch today, not then?
Go to the main Soundbites YouTube channel.
On my phone.
Sure.
Well,
if you want to cast it to your television, right. You start at your phone.
Or are you using the YouTube app on the TV?
Oh, I think YouTube came up before I saw you guys. So what do I do then?
Well, in either case, you go to soundbites.radio.org, I think is what it is.
Soundbites.org.
Soundbites.org.
Now you got me thinking. Let me go back.
Okay.
On the phone. And then?
And then you find the one that says live, which is today's show, and you start that one, and then you can cast that one to your television.
Live. Yeah, keyword live. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it all. Wow. Let's go back to Cheryl, and I want to give you money.
Perfect. You'll have to call back.
Yeah, you got to call back.
Yeah,
in,
this phone system is not
okay.
Made for that. I'm sorry.
I understand. Thanks, guys. Have
Thanks, Rich.
Weekend.
Thanks, Rich.
Yep.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Rich. And hey, don't forget, you can join Rich as a member of this station. It is ridiculously easy. All you have to do is call. You can do it one of two ways. You can talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl by calling 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Takes less than 2 minutes to give Cheryl your pledge. If you don't want to talk to a live human being, and Cheryl is lovely, but if you don't want to talk to her, then you can simply go to jazz901.org in your browser and click the big Donate Now button. Scroll down. You'll see that one of the choices of shows to pledge for is Soundbites. Pick that, please, and make your pledge, and we're on our way. It takes, again, fewer than a couple of minutes to do that, and we're on our way. You get to know that you have helped us stay on the air. We get to stay on the air. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. And while you do that, we will talk to Phil in Webster, New York. Hi, Phil. What's up?
Hey, I got a question about artificial intelligence for you guys. What do you think's better, Google Bard or the ChatGPT?
Google Bard versus Microsoft ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Microsoft owns ChatGPT.
Principal competitor or principal donator, and it's built into Microsoft Bing.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So I found an interesting article on Ars Technica, which is better, and put them to the test, and I've got two giant battling robots. I haven't played with Bard as much, although Google was quick to point out that, you know, we have AI too. We have AI too.
Yeah.
After ChatGPT came
out. Everybody's doing AI now.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is good at summarizing text.
Yeah. A clever regurgitator.
It's a clever regurgitator. Bard is a little better at answering questions with more relevant information, which honestly you would expect from Google.
Yeah. So ChatGPT is confidently wrong in a lot of things.
A lot of things.
And you don't know it because it's so confident in the way it presents it back to you.
Yeah. There was an example of a woman who suddenly was getting all these requests about an article that she had never written.
Yep.
In an academic field that she was not an expert in. She wasn't an expert, but not in that field. And she kept saying, what makes you think I wrote an article about this? ChatGPT told us.
Yep.
It made up an article, attributed it to her, and regurgitated that all over the web. There were hundreds and hundreds.
I wonder if it came from like a link farm that generates bogus content to get clicks.
Yeah, don't know.
And it doesn't know the difference between a good article and a bad article. Actually, that is the problem. It doesn't know the difference between a good article and a bad article.
Well, and the big thing is, since both are free, use them both.
Yeah.
Pick the answer you like best. They're both probably wrong some way.
And since Microsoft has built ChatGPT into Bing, that's an easy way to use it without needing to sign up for an account with them.
Right. Although the accounts at least so far are free.
Yeah. Microsoft's trying to do everything they can to get people to use Bing. There's been some interesting testimony in Congress. Google is getting investigated for monopoly in search. And then they're going to investigate them for a monopoly in ads.
Yeah.
But there's been some interesting testimony from Eddie Q from Apple and Satya Nadella from Microsoft, you know, basically saying, so right now Google is paying Apple reportedly $15 billion to make Google the default search on Apple devices.
Which is couch change for Apple, by the way.
Right. And so Microsoft tried to get Apple to switch to Bing. Can I remember how the judge or the one of the people on the senators on the commission said, you know, did you try to get, you know, to sell Bing to Apple? And Nutella said, yep. So then the guy said, well, how'd that go? And Nutella said, not well. So we'll explain that. Yeah, we were going to give them everything. We were going to give them up to $15 billion. And Apple just, we're fine with Google. That's okay.
Yep.
So Google does have, you know, can be argued to have a monopoly on search, and so Congress.
But
is
then on the other hand, Google can turn around and say,
or a bad
"Look,
monopoly.
Bing.
Yeah,
look, DuckDuckGo.
Yeah,
look,
there's more out.
Brave
there.
Search."
And why? And so they asked Eddie Q from I think it was Eddie from Apple, why during a setup, why don't you ask people what default search engine they want to use? And the answer is basically because we'd give them a list of things they'd never heard of, and they'd pick Google anyway.
Well, that's
so
exactly right.
We don't want to, inundate them with too many
questions. Of the things now, before, I mean, I know we should get back to the phone, but two things first. First, we'd like to thank Francis for a lovely donation. Thank you. That's Francis with an I, I would like to remind you.
We'll find her yet.
Now,
was this Francis recently, have a W, or was it just Soundbites with the W?
Soundbites with a Y. Yeah, it was just the Soundbites with the Y.
Francis had a Y, too.
Right. One thing that you may have noticed, if you have recently used Edge, Microsoft Edge, to download Google Chrome,
mm-hmm.
Edge will start dunning you.
Are you sure?
Why are you using, you know, we're the same browser.
Use the latest best thing.
We're as good as, or if not better than, why? And you have to go through like a half a dozen screens of, yes, please, I want to use Chrome. No, please, go away. I want Chrome. Give me Chrome. I want Chrome. Before you get Chrome.
Apparently, that came out in some of the transcripts, that the number one search in Bing is, how do I download Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Bing is a default search in Windows Microsoft Edge.
Right.
And all their stupid updates, they keep trying to put Edge on the desktop. And got to drag it over to the trash, put it in there.
Yep. Yep. Now,
I just did it on my Mac in Safari at Bing. I said, Microsoft Edge, download Chrome. And so I get a promoted by Microsoft ad saying, Microsoft Edge is powered by the same open source technology as Google. Why don't you use that instead?
Right, right. So, yeah. Look, Google came, famously, Microsoft was years and years and years behind on the internet.
Remember Alta Vista? That was the best search engine.
It was the only search engine at the time.
And how fast everything went. To Google?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had Archie and Ask Jeeves. So there were some small ones before. Yahoo was
big
for a long time.
It wasn't really a search engine at first, anyway.
Yeah, and then suddenly Google, and everyone started using Google because it was so good.
Google is now a verb.
Yeah.
Let's Google that. I Googled myself last night.
Yeah. I've heard TV shows that are sponsored by Microsoft, because you can tell by the Microsoft logos that they point at the camera.
Right.
When it's a Macintosh, there's usually a Post-it covering the Apple logo.
Right.
Because it's not a paid advertising. And so people are saying, why don't you Bing that? So they're trying to force Bing to become a verb.
Yeah, it's not good.
Doesn't work.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is William, all the way from Hampton, Virginia. Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are things down in Virginia, William?
They're very balmy, but they will soon turn chilly appropriately.
Yeah, chilly for you is like 50, 60.
Yep, yep.
All right, shut up.
I used to live in New York. I used to live in Queens, so I know something about chilly now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. So what's up?
Yeah. So I want to thank you guys for, you know, I started listening to the program back in 2009, and that's when I got turned on to Linux. Subsequently, I learned about VirtualBox.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a good thing, too. Now, very recently, I had a situation come up where I downloaded ISOs from Microsoft's website for, evaluation purposes, the server ISO, and also the Windows 10 Home ISO. Okay, so I managed to install the server ISO successfully, but with the Windows 10 ISO, I ran into a problem where it's apparently running some sort of a runtime or restart loop where it says, why did my PC restart? It's not the blue screen of death, if you will, but there is a blue screen, and at the top it says, why did my PC restart? And so far what I've done is I've tried to query the answersmicrosoft.com website for an answer, but they redirected me to learnmicrosoft.com, and so I'm still awaiting an answer from those folks since I just now submitted to them. So I was hoping maybe you guys might have had some experience with that phenomenon that I just mentioned.
It almost sounds like a bad install.
Yeah, it could be. Well, part of it, check to see how much check to see your resources. Okay, particularly first make sure you're downloading and installing the 64-bit version. Secondly, mm-hmm. you need at least 2 gigs of RAM.
Assigned to the VM.
Assigned to the VM,
not in the host computer.
So,
yeah, if you've only got 2 gigs of RAM and you try to assign 2 gigs of RAM to the VM, you got a problem.
Right. I do the host machine, which is my Toshiba satellite. Sometime back I had upgraded the memory from 4 to 8 gigs, so I should be good on that.
All right, so make sure you've got at least 2 gigs allocated to the VM, the virtual machine. Make sure you've got at least 128 megs of video memory. Make sure you've got at least 50 gigs it's a minimum of 4 gigs, but you really should have something more like at least 10 gigs of disk storage.
Oh, 10 gigs of hard disk storage.
Right, so when you create your VM,
you
tell it how much of your host machine you want to allocate to the VM.
Or you make it dynamic, and you start with like 4 or 8 gig and let it grow as it needs to grow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I usually tell mine 128 and let it grow up into that as it needs to. Because it only takes what it uses on the disk itself. So it only takes 10, but it could grow to 128 if it needed to.
Like the number that I'm hearing is 128 megs, but what's that for?
Well, 128 gigs of disk space. Yeah, and you can use
128 meg of video memory.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Video memory. Okay, that's more like it. Yeah.
So if you don't have enough video memory, you may have a problem. The other thing is, when you set it up, did you tell it to emulate
EFI? Firmware?
Yeah, firmware? The EFI firmware.
Or Legacy BIOS.
And that depends
on which, it depends on which installer you get and what it's written for.
Right.
Is that something that I would see when I open VirtualBox and look in the settings?
Yes.
So the settings for that VM.
Oh, for the settings for that VM. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I'll tell you what. I think I have a minute to do that. My host machine, like I said, I put, it initially came with four gigs in the box, and then I went later and ordered from eBay a 8 gig stick. Okay, so now I've got the VirtualBox Manager open, and I'm clicking on the Windows desktop with the virtual machine. So you're going to commercial break now.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, with William from Hampton, Virginia, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. And of course, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. So while we take this break, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. She will be happy to take your pledge information. Alternately, you can pledge online without interacting with a single human being at jazz901.org. Take a quick bio break, and we'll see you on the other side with a whole lot more sound bites on Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we're talking to William from Hampton, Virginia. William, you still there?
I'm still here, sir.
Excellent. All right, so here's the thing. First, make sure you've downloaded the 64-bit version of Windows.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Then
when you install it, the settings you have to have minimum, and this is minimum, 2 gigs of RAM, at least one processor, but more is better.
Depending on how many your host computer has, yeah.
Right, right.
All of these depending on what your host computer has.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah, that's where I do run into a problem because I opened Hardware Info or Profiler. I have just the one AMD E2100 APU, which is one physical processor with two cores and two threads.
Right. So one of those two cores, you would say, go ahead and use that for the VM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means is you now only have one core for the host operating system, and it also means that you can't run more than one VM at a time, right, because you won't have enough cores.
Oh, yeah, I would never run more than one VM at a time anyway because I simply have a very low processor in terms of capability and, you know, speed and you know, the number of cores and threads.
Exactly. So under when you set it up, one of the choices you get is your system. And like I said, you want at least 2 gigs of RAM. You want there are some extended features. Enable IO APIC. You want that on. You want to say...
I'm looking in the system tab.
All right, I'm sorry. We can't really do this real time. Under extended features in the system settings, you want to say you want to enable IO APIC. You want to enable EFI. And that may or may not work depending on which version of Windows 10 you download it. So, you know, try it with and without at some point. And then most people pick hardware clock and UTC time because that's the way that works. Then you've got your processor, which, you know, again, one, it'll tell you how many CPUs you have. So in your case, you have a choice of one or two. You want to pick one.
Hey, I got a quick question. If it says enable EFI checkbox, it says special OSs only. What does that mean?
It means that certain non-EFI OSs will not be able to boot if that option is activated.
The OS has to be aware of EFI or UEFI.
Right, which Windows 10 is.
Okay.
And then so you'll have your processor and your acceleration. You can enable those if you want. In your display, the same thing. You've got a certain amount of video memory that you want to set. The more is better, but 128 meg is fine.
Depends on how much you have to spare.
Right. Storage, again, it depends how much free space you have on your hard drive. Windows, Microsoft suggests a minimum of 30 gig. That's fine.
That's a minimum.
And those are the main things.
I know that the program is usually available soon after you guys go off the air, so I'll just listen again to I'm reminded of those things.
And it's available immediately on YouTube.
Right.
Before you go, I have to ask, have you been to Air Power Park? on Mercury Boulevard?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
It's closed currently. They're doing renovations, unfortunately. But next time you come down, it should be ready to go.
Yeah, we were there a couple of years ago. It's a great old Roadside America attraction right off of 64. Mm-hmm. Rockets and airplanes, my two passions.
Well, I'm sure your wife will be thrilled to hear that.
No, she liked going there, too.
I'm impressed, Steve. I'm very impressed.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for all you do, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
We would really like to thank Anne Marie for her very generous donation. She's already a member, but she's donating to support Soundbites. What a lovely idea.
Thank you very much.
What a lovely idea. And you can do, thank you very much, Anne Marie. And you all can do the same. It's very simple and easy to do. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Oh, and by the way, you should probably take a close thought at our Jazz-O-Matic thing for a minimum of $10 a month. And, of course, you can certainly make it more than that if you like. You can join at, say, $10 a month for a year is the $120 level. And you get the premiums at that level, but you only pay $10 a month. And we automatically take that out of your checking account, with your permission, of course. And at the end of the year, we stop. So unless you renew, it stops at that time. So Jazz-O-Matic is a painless way to make a good-sized donation to the station without taking a huge bite day one. So that's a thing that you can easily do without a lot of pain, right? Day one. So while you do that, we will talk to Jim from Rochester, New York. Hi, Jim. What's up?
Yes, Nick. That's what I use, is the Jazz-O-Matic, and it's excellent.
Thank you, Jim.
For a long time. Quick question for you. My friend has Spectrum, and he is going to purchase a new router. What would be your best recommendation? He has a house that has a normal house, upstairs, the downstairs, and the basement. And his old router is about 4 years old, and he wants to buy one. Can you give some guidelines to what he might look for?
Yeah, generally speaking, it doesn't matter what he's connecting it to, Spectrum or Google or Greenlight or
Frontier,
whatever,
whoever. That's
okay.
What's important is the thing that he gets. Now, if his house is fairly large and he's currently having a problem getting a signal in certain areas of the house,
yes, a little bit, yes,
I might suggest a mesh network. And that, you know, Google makes one. They make the Google Home Nest. I don't remember which order that goes in, Nest Home or...
I think Nest is...
I don't remember.
Nest,
anyway.
Nest was originally the thermostat.
That's the one I use it. But there are
the Orbi series, the Eero series.
Yeah, right. I like the Orbi.
And the deal with a mesh is that it's a small... a router you plug into your internet router, and then you can put other repeater routers basically around your
satellites.
House. Satellite routers, yeah, to get to extend your signal.
Is that one unit, and then you can add to it? Is that it?
Yes, and you can add as many mesh satellites as you need to cover the house. I've got one customer that currently has 15 of them.
Oh, holy moly!
Well, and that 1,000-foot fiber run to get to the barn, that was fun.
Yeah, no, his is just a normal house. He's having a little bit of connect problems, and that's why he wanted to go out. Plus, the old one router is 4 or 5 years old, and I believe they constantly upgrading these things, correct? Right.
Yeah, so if it's an old G router... that was replaced with N, which was replaced with AC, which is replaced with AX. So no one can remember the letters anymore. So now they have Wi-Fi 4, 5, 6, and 7 is the newest one.
Wi-Fi 7.
And if your So Spectrum gives you 300 megabit standard unless he buys the faster one. Four or five would be fine for that. If he has faster, then he wants at least six.
Right. But again, something that provides a mesh network to which you can add additional meshes if you need them,
right,
is probably your best bet.
Now, one thing to think about, if your friend is not technically savvy, mm-hmm. is that Spectrum has their own wireless router, mm-hmm. and they charge you $5 a month. And then if there's a problem with either the internet or the Wi-Fi, they'll answer your questions because it's their hardware. So some people like going that way. And they even right. have their own mesh satellite boxes that look suspiciously like an Eero.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much is that one, their mesh ones?
They charge you $5 a month.
So and, either way.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's... I know some people don't like that $5 bill extra, but
right.
for the non-tech savvy, it's almost worth it, maybe.
Exactly.
Yep. $5 a month, it's one cup of coffee. Okay, you gave me a lot of great information. I took notes on this, and I will be getting back to them this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you.
And I'm posting a link from PC Magazine on the best Wi-Fi mesh routers.
Yep. All right, people, a couple of things I need to talk about. First, again, let us thank Ken and Lorraine for their lovely gifts to us. We very much appreciate them. Thank you so much. We are in the middle of a pledge. Actually, this may be our last Saturday on this pledge drive. I'm not sure of that, but let's pretend it is. So if you haven't yet made that call and made that pledge, now's the time to do it. We really, really, really need your help. This has not been the most stellar of pledge drives this time around. And I get it. Life is what it is, as I often say, in this economy. But the reality is we need your help, and we need you to make that call and make that pledge. We want to stay on the air. It's that simple. We want this station to stay on the air, and we want us to stay on this station. And the way that happens... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is what, you know, kind of drives us is actually our listeners that keep calling in every year and keeping this program going. I mean, 33 years, 14 years at this station. So that's got to say something, you know, to move from another station to come here and get all the support that we get from our listeners to keep us on the air. For 14 years, it kind of says, yeah, Rob, we appreciate what you did. But to have that continue, yep. folks still have to pick up the phone and call. And there is no wrong amount. He gives you so many different avenues to become a member. And he also offers some great gifts.
Right.
So but it's a win-win all the way around.
So a win all the way around. And look, I admit it. As Dave pointed out earlier, it's you people who drive us here, and it's discouraging when we don't make a pledge drive. It's not only bad for the station; it's bad for our morale. And I admit that. So make a call, make the pledge 585, and it doesn't have to be if you can't afford a level. I get it. You know, whatever you can afford. But if you can't afford a level, reach deep. We need your help. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you do that, and I sincerely hope you do that, we will talk to Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hi, Dennis. What's up?
Well, I've got a Hewlett-Packard tower that I bought as a rebuilt. It was a Windows 8, and they rebuilt it to Windows 10. My problem is that it's not triggering the monitor to come on, and I have to turn it on 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9 times to get the monitor to turn on. I've replaced the monitor and the cord. I've added a video card, so I'm not using onboard video, and I've replaced the power supply. Any other ideas?
What frequency is it driving the monitor at that could be set to the wrong frequency in your monitor settings?
75 hertz.
You want to make sure the monitor can do that. You may want to try backing down to 60 hertz and see if that helps any.
The other thing is I'm thinking maybe the motherboard is going. The reason I don't want to just go out and get another computer is I've got a bunch of apps. I use this for work and for personal, and everything is just set up just the way I like it. I mean, and I've got a cloned hard drive, and I don't really want to have to switch brands or anything. There's a guy who's selling the exact same model, Hewlett Packard, and he says he's on eBay selling it for parts for $57. But he says the BIOS does not recognize the hard drive and does not have a COA. Is there how would I remedy that if I were to buy that for $57?
Into trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble.
You'd have to buy a new BIOS chip.
Yeah, you got if or they even
drive,
have it.
Or a hard drive controller.
Yeah.
One right. end or the other, yeah.
I mean, you're just going into headaches. If you're going to go to that much trouble, well, let's put it this way. Even if you were to get another motherboard, say this one was even pristine, and you want to take that your old motherboard out and put this new one in, Windows is still going to complain. Because when Windows does an install, it checks all the hardware versions and everything else it's doing the install.
That's why he's trying to use the same model. But even the same model computer
has different chips on it.
Could have different chips on the
And
part.
It's going to give you problems. So if you're going to do that, you might as well just step up and get another more powerful computer, bite the bullet, and have this one sitting on the side. Because you can get an A-B switch and slowly arrange, you know, and install the apps that you've got on the old one onto the new one and get it set up. And like I said, with an A-B switch, you can have one monitor, two boxes, and you can go back and forth between the two.
Now, when you said the video doesn't come on, do you mean the computer isn't turning on or the computer is on and running but doesn't light up the video?
Yeah, the fans come on and... it doesn't trigger the monitor to come on. The monitor is always set for standby, and and I just have to keep holding in the button till it shuts back down, and then I try it again. Another trick is to turn off the power supply for a while, turn the power supply back on, and then after three or four times,
something's overheating on that motherboard.
Right. It may not be the video. It may be the computer motherboard itself.
Yeah, the motherboard is.
Unfortunately, this is going to have to be looked at by somebody. And the answer may be it's just too old.
Yeah, I like the idea of the A-B switch where I can have one monitor, have two towers, and make the changes that I want to make on the new.
Yeah, because once you get the old unit running, you just leave it running. And then, you know, even with the monitor light turned on, you don't turn the box off, but you can hit the switch and have it go to the new machine and turn that on and off as far as, you know, the monitor part.
Okay, great. I am a sustaining member, guys. Thank you very much.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay.
And you, too, can be a member of this station. It will keep us on the air. It is that simple. It is a very black and white thing. There's no nuance here. You make the call, you make the pledge, we stay on the air, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. And if you're listening to the podcast later or the YouTube channel later, you can pledge 24/7 at jazz901.org. Trust me, that donate now button will always be there 24/7. But don't put it off. I know you. You procrastinate. Stop procrastinating. Get on your computer right now.
I'll give up procrastinating tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty soon, anyway. Get on your computer right now. Go to jazz901.org. Make that pledge online. Hit the donate now button. It takes less than 2 minutes of your life, and you're in. If you're listening live, make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Don't leave me discouraged at the end of this pledge drive. We need your help. While you do that, we'll talk to Fred from Rochester, New York. Hi, Fred. What's up?
Hey, I want to tell everybody to, Dr. Shirley. She's really nice.
That's what we'd like to hear. Thanks.
I did my donation a couple weeks ago, but... You had given some information that was really good, and I wanted to make a comment to it on the chat. And when I hit the enter, it never showed up in the chat. And I don't know what could have...
That's a lovely question. I don't know.
Yeah, when I did a short, just a short hello to see if it came up, and that came up. But is there anything that's blocked?
No, shouldn't be. Did you put your name in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had my name in, and then I put the card. And I thought, well, maybe one of the things that I referred to, and there was a link or something that kicked back out. But
now we've got several people in. Oh, if you put in a URL, it won't accept it.
Okay. No, I don't think it was a URL, but I did. But yeah, that was one thing that was a little bit of a hiccup.
No, we got a few people who have just posted in the chat, so we know it's working.
No, I mean that was a couple weeks ago. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I just when you were commenting on. Working on with the TV, and I discovered that I could, because I don't have the internet at home, but I could use my mobile network.
Right.
And I could watch you on one channel and still do other things on my phone. And, you know, if you try to do that strictly from your phone, the picture goes smaller.
Yeah. Some phones don't have any, multitasking, and even the phones that do, phone screens are not really designed to do multitasking.
Yeah.
It gets a little confusing. I get that.
Yeah. But you talked earlier about wallet and those things, and I use all of those, just about all. I use Venmo and PayPal and my wallet. And I recently used Enpass, the premium paid version, and I recently started having little hiccups when I went to log into Venmo. It was posting my password in the username and again in the password field. And I checked for all the updates and everything, and it didn't do that before. It used to work quite flawlessly, actually. Works well in PayPal, but in the Venmo, it wants to put my password into the username.
Then, of course,
it tells me I got the wrong username or password.
That sounds like the other end. They named their fields wrong. So the EnPass plugin is trying to guess what the username field and password field is. And if it isn't obviously named username and password, it can get confused as to what field to fill in where.
What you might try doing is putting in your Venmo username and password and see if EnPass then says, do you want to save this information?
Maybe it saved it wrong. So maybe it saved it wrong. It saved the password in both fields the first time.
Yeah, I tried that. After trying several times, I realized that, if I just change the username to what it's supposed to be, then it works. So then I did get that. One of the times I did get that message from EnPass, and I chose no. And then another time I said, what the hell, I'll give it a try. And I looked in later in my EnPass, and it was still exactly the same as it was before I chose that update.
That can be a little tricky. I've seen that with Keychain on the Apple. If it saved the wrong information somewhere and then the right information somewhere else, then it can pick the wrong one when it's trying to fill in. So sometimes you have to go through your saved password list and make sure the wrong passwords have been deleted.
Yeah.
They're usually good about updating with the right password, but sometimes they blow it and make a second entry, so you have one right and one wrong.
Okay, because the password part was correct. All I had to do was go, when I recognized the gobbledygook up in the username, I said, that looks like my password. And I went to EnPass and looked at
right.
That's my password. So it didn't, I don't see where it might have saved, but I can go back to EnPass and see if it saved it a second time.
Yeah.
But it's only on Venmo, and it didn't do it before because I've used Venmo app for a while.
They may have changed something at their end and updated, their app or their website just enough to make an EnPass a little confused.
I guess so, but yeah. Well, keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
I'll keep watching on TV.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. please, please make that call, make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. I don't want to have to go back to the days when I am berating you people constantly to become members. So make the call, make the pledge. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more sound bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enner.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, which means you have less than half an hour left to make that call, make that pledge, and become a member of this station. It's easy enough to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We shouldn't have to tell this to you people anymore. You've been listening to the show for 14 years on this station. You know that what we need is to stay on this station and for this station to stay on the air. And for that to happen, we need your support. Again, we don't get government money. We don't get federal money. We don't get state money. We don't get local money. When we say we're member supported, we ain't kidding. We are member supported, and you need to be the member who supports us. It's real simple. I know nobody likes to pay for anything anymore. I know you're a bunch of cheap so-and-sos. I get it. I don't care. Make the call. Make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Can you tell it's the third week and I'm getting a little porky about this?
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, though, it's not like we have a ton of drives. We have two drives, one in the spring, one in the fall. I know there's plenty of other radio stations that'll hit their members up three and four times a year.
Yep.
We come to you twice a year asking for your help to keep the great music on that you come to accustomed to listening to during your workday. I know of a number of places put it on for the background music because it is. It's very soothing music, very enjoyable. I play it on my van all the time for the elderly folks that I put on. And I've had a number of, what station is that? And I tell them, oh, this is really nice. They enjoy it. You know, it's not a lot of screaming and everything else. It's very relaxing music that you can hum along with or tap your foot to at times. And the DJs are very pleasant, and they try to always, you know, do an up spirit attitude.
While I was in rehab for 3 months with my torn quadricep, I had a smart speaker, and I was playing this station all the time, invariably. Invariably, every person who came in, what station is that?
Yeah.
That's great. Can I get that? Yeah, it's right there. It's easy. It's a local station, locally owned, locally operated. This is community. We are a community. And you can listen. You can join. You can be a part of this community. You want to belong to this community. You know you do. So make the call and make the pledge. Call us. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But don't wait that long at jazz901.org. Hit the big donate now button and it just takes a couple of minutes of your time. And that's all it takes and you're in. It's easy. It's fast. And like we said, you can listen to us live every Saturday, here, you know, on terrestrial radio. You can, listen live at jazz901.org. There's a mobile app for Android and Apple. You can listen on your smart speaker. You can watch us on the YouTube channel. We provide a lot of ways for you to join in the fun. But there is a better way, and that's to become a member. It just takes a couple of minutes of your time. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz 901.org.
Yeah, I've got an 87-year-old woman that...
Don't brag.
I turn the radio on for her, you know, and as we're taking the trip, because where she lives, it's a hike, and I can hear her, you know, in the back there just humming along at some of these songs, because, like I say, it's very soothing for her. She's coming from dialysis, and she just enjoys that music. It makes things go a lot smoother for her. She goes, thank you. Again, what station is that? And I had to write it down on the card. She goes, all right, I'm going to try to find that. And she goes, and can I get it on my phone? I go, yeah, you can download that. She goes, well, I'm going to have my grandson do that for me because he's so smart at that. I want him to set this all up. I said, no problem. I checked in a couple weeks later when I had her. She goes, I got it on my phone. I love it. Thank you very much. No problem.
You know, I'll tell you, while I was in rehab, having that music in the background was wonderful.
It's soothing.
And when I'm writing, it's on in the background. When I'm doing stuff, it's on in the background. It's there all day. And I know there are a lot of you who only ever listen to sound bites. That's the only reason you come to this station. You're shortchanging yourself, quite frankly. As music to listen to, it's beautiful. And you should be taking advantage of that. But also, you should be taking advantage of the fact that we are a community to which you can belong. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.com. .org.
And the other thing, though, one last thing, though, there's not many jazz stations left.
Boy, that's
in
true.
The U.S. A lot of them have gone off the air, folks. We are, last I knew, what, one of six or so stations left in the U.S. that you can still tune in and listen to jazz music like we have here. So yep. Like Nick said, you know, there is no wrong amount. Pick up the phones and keep Cheryl busy for the next 20 minutes, please. Or you can do it online. You don't even have to stop listening. You can, you know, let's keep the thing going and go over to the webpage and just click donate online.
Yep.
You won't miss a beat.
Do it through your phone. You can do it at your computer. You can do it on your tablet. You could probably do it on your watch, although I wouldn't recommend trying.
Who?
Steve's going to give it a shot right now. It's real easy, jazz901.org. Click the Contact Us Now button, and you click or tap or whatever you do, and activate the Donate Now button, and we're on our way. It's real easy to do. It's real simple. It's real fast, less than a couple of minutes. We haven't had a lot of people call in, and we need that. Thank you. It's easy to do, and it just takes a couple of minutes, just like Thomas did. Thank you, Thomas, for your generous donation. We are honored to have you as the latest member of the community. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. And back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Webster, New York. Nope, Jim hung up. Or no, something happened.
That's a weird busy signal.
Yeah.
As we've mentioned several times, this phone system is not designed for live radio shows.
Yeah. Jim from Webster, call back.
Please call back. And you know, this is why you need to make a pledge.
Is this Jim?
We need your help.
Okay, hold on. We'll try
585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We're talking to Jim from Webster. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. What's up?
I called in last week. When I upgraded my cell phone to iOS 17, everything was lagging. Everything took time to boot up. And I tried all the different things. I rebooted my phone, rebooted my router, rebooted the apps, and nothing worked. And last week, Steve mentioned to go into my iPhone and forget this network.
Yeah.
I did that, forgot the network, rebooted my phone, reconnected to my network, and everything worked fine. It solved the problem.
There we go.
Good.
That's.
I want to thank you.
Forgetting the network helped and solved the problem.
It's one of those tough ones where if you can't connect to the internet, you can't download any updates.
Yeah,
right, exactly. Well, I'm glad that solved the problem, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I had that a little while ago. My Orbi died, and so I replaced it with the Google Mesh Network, and it uses a different IP address. Instead of .1, it's .something else. And 192.168.1 minus 192.168.something else.
Zero is the other common one I see.
It was neither of those.
Eero uses 4.
It was none of that.
Well,
anyway, the point is...
Well, it's good they start using different numbers. So.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. They don't
conflict. The point is I had to go and restart every device on the network. I used the same SSID network name. I used the same password, but any device that was on was still trying to connect to the .1.
Shield.
And it was not connecting. I still have a problem with one machine connecting to my printer, but everything else works fine. Sometimes just forgetting the network and setting it up again.
Give it time to time out.
Because one of the things that they do is they get a lease. So let's say when you join a network, the phone, whatever, says, I'm here. I want to be on this network for the next 8 hours. So it gets an 8-hour lease. Some are 4, some are 8, some are 2, doesn't matter. Then halfway through the lease, now in this case 4 hours, it says, oh, I'm still here. I want to stay on the lease. Okay. Then 2 hours, it asks again. Then 1 hour, it asks again. Half an hour, it asks again, and then it goes back to 8. So if you don't wait out that lease period, you may have a problem. But if you shut it down for whatever amount of time that is, you can be ahead of the game then. So it's tricky. There are so many various reasons why things don't connect properly, and particularly when it's a network, it can be arcane at best.
Could be at another end.
Right.
It's one of those, how does it work in the first place kind of things.
Right. So, you know, I'm glad that Jim solved this problem, but sometimes all you got to do is it's basically a reset. Forget the network and bring it up again. Mm-hmm. And that says, okay, this is all new.
Well, Windows 5. Had a bad issue with memory. It wouldn't release it.
Right.
In other words, it would, you know, you'd start up a program and, you know, you'd shut it down and then go up and open up another one. And it still thinks the other program's still open because it wasn't releasing the programs correctly. And the only other good way to actually clear that out was to shut the machine down or do a restart. That became the thing that we were telling folks for the longest time. Oh, just do a restart, and then it should work.
Yep.
And then sure enough, it did.
They call that a memory leak. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just uses more memory than it needs, and it doesn't release it properly when it's done, and the system thinks there's no more memory left.
And then it used to create all those junk files, those temp files. That used to fill up a hard drive.
I still see that in Microsoft Word on my Mac now and then. You get all the Word temp 1, Word temp 2, Word temp 127.
Yep. And the fact is, if you've shut down Windows, you don't need those. Those temp files are designed to allow you to recover a crashed.
Supposedly.
Theoretically, yeah. Right. A crashed word processing document.
If you crash before you save.
You crash before you save. The reality is that we don't crash nearly as often as we used to. But secondly, if you have properly shut down your Word, Microsoft Word, those files are no longer needed.
And it's supposed to delete them.
And it doesn't. So if you're running out of room, check your temp. And it could be under the TEMP directory. It could also be under the TMP directory.
That's why a common troubleshooting tip is to clear your cache and temp files.
Right. Because there just might be some junk in there. And often programs look to see if there's sometimes you, when a program crashes, for example, it happens with LibreOffice. If it crashes and you restart it, it'll say, oh, you've got this unsaved document. Do you want to bring it back? And sometimes there's stuff in it and sometimes there is not. And that has to do with how it was saved and when it was saved and what the backup is like. But you don't need those temp files anymore. So you can easily get rid of them. We don't have as much problem with that now because we're all buying terabyte hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean we're not, we don't have all those files building up.
And
they just don't interfere as much as they used to because we got so much extra space.
And we have such high-speed internet that it's often longer to look through the cache than it would be to just download it again anyway.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I just had to take a look at my wife's machine because, you know, got her a new machine and it has a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just last week, she's going, you know, this machine is running awful slow. All right, I'll take a look. Finally, just this past week, you got to look at this machine.
Yeah.
So I went over, sat down. All right, 2 terabyte.
Yeah.
Guess how much space was left?
100 meg.
No, a little more than that.
When it gets down to the K left, then you really...
Yeah, right, right, right.
She had 6 gig left.
Yep.
On a 2 terabyte drive.
Well, she saves a lot of pictures.
She has thousands of pictures. I go, whoa, time out. I says, there's nothing I can do about this. This is something you got to make a decision. I don't know what to do. I says, I'm going to tell you what to do. All these photos you got from 2 years ago, do you still need them? Well, I might.
I said,
when's the last time you went back into 2021 or 2022?
Tomorrow.
Right. Not for a while. I said, then delete them.
Or put them on an external
drive. She's already done her magic with it and assigned them to Find a Grave and posted them and everything else. I said, delete it. So she went.
At the very least, throw them on a thumb drive.
Well,
you can get terabyte thumb drives now, for God's sake.
No, yep. Nick, I got them backed up in 2 other spots.
Yep.
Oh, you don't need them then.
Yeah, I got them, and they're on Google Photo, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, you know, that's not an issue. I says, get rid of them off your machine. All of a sudden, she dumped a lot of them. She's got over 1.5 terabytes back.
Yep.
The machine is running faster.
That's unbelievable how that happens sometimes.
Magic. FM. Fantastic magic.
We had a customer bring in a machine, said it was running slow, and we looked at the hard drive, and hard drive said it was okay. No, that's 0K.
That's a good one. I like that one.
I like that one.
Yeah. Okay.
It said it was okay.
I have a 2 terabyte home directory on my Linux box. And I'm down to 600 gig. And I'm thinking, I only have 600 gig left. You know, back in the day.
My first hard drive was 100 megs.
Right, exactly. And my first hard drive was 10 megs.
Yeah.
So 600 gig is a lot, but off of 2 terabytes, I'm starting to see a squeeze.
I've only got 20 gigs free. I'm going to have to take care of that.
Yeah.
The Sonoma 14.1 patch came out, so I'm thinking I might upgrade this afternoon.
Oh, so sit down and you know,
there's his
plan
afternoon.
On 5 or 6 hours of that.
Yeah.
I say, there's his afternoon.
After I process the show.
Yeah.
Please.
But, yeah, that's a tip, by the way. If you're going to do an upgrade, A, have a verified backup, at least one, and 2 is better. B, plan some time. If we're all lucky, it takes almost no time at all. If we aren't lucky, you don't want to have a time crunch. You don't want to say, oh, I can't really do this now. What do? I have to make a choice between X and Y. No, if you've set aside a few hours and you end up doing it quickly, which is the hope, then you got a couple hours free. God bless you. If not, you've got time to deal with the problem.
especially something as invasive and potentially devastating as a system upgrade,
right,
make real sure the backup is current.
Well, you've heard me talk about, you know, this. I'm waiting for this one program to come out, and I've been waiting right. for it. The guy finally, him and his daughter, finally published like an info
sure.
on the updates and that. Well, he didn't, because he was using the old Microsoft Access.
Oh, yeah, the Jet
and
engine.
And now he's going, you know, away from that to the
SQLite.
He did a quick demo. He goes, this is still, it's supposed to be up by the holidays. But he had a database that had 120,000 contacts. He did a search. First, he did it on Microsoft Access. And we're sitting there watching it. Oh, there it is. And it came up with it. He switched over to the new program.
On the same machine, so.
Same machine. Did the same search. Let's see how long it takes. Oh, there it is.
Yep, yep.
It's like, holy, now everybody's clamoring. How soon are you going to have this out? And the other key thing, though, and other folks are really happy about it, is it's also going to include a Linux and a Windows version. He says designing it was so much easier.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's like all these people are now clamoring to get away from Microsoft Access. It's like you say, our wait time is...
Microsoft Access was magic when it first came out because it was really the first... Of the personal databases.
Yep.
I mean, we had DBase, but that was hard.
That was, oh, that's going way back. Yeah, I remember those days.
But on the Windows machine, you know, again, Microsoft gave you access, gave you the Jet engine. So
Access
a lot of people used it.
Access is going to be 30 next month. That was released in November of 1992.
And the first 2 years were good ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, with things like SQLite and SQL itself and MariaDB and a whole bunch of other clones like that and no SQL and all of those, there are way better things now that are also much, much, much faster.
Make the programs, whether it's a data.
The big advantage of being an Access developer is that customers can't make modifications themselves. They have to hire you back again to change something.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
get a lot of customers that come up, I've got this old Access database and I need a change. Can you fix that? Nope.
No.
We cannot. Need the original source code and the original passwords.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We can rewrite it for you in FileMaker and then you can make your changes later.
Right.
But it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Well, and nobody wants to hear that. I've had several people say the same thing to me. I've got this old thing and something. We don't have any of the code. We don't. The guy died or doesn't. You know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, I can recreate it, but now you're paying for essentially a new program because it's going to take me 200 hours.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just the way the world works.
Yeah.
Well, but this is all done. No, it isn't really. No, it's not
working right.
Right. You need it changed and you need it fixed and you need something different and we can't do that. Without redesigning and rewriting the whole thing. And, oh, by the way, it's going to be faster and easier and better, and it'll be online, and it'll be all of this and all of that, and it'll be great. But you're going to pay for that, just like nobody wants to pay to be a member. It's easy. Make the call. Make the pledge. 585-96. This is your chance. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes and we need your support. Please make that call, make that pledge, do it now. Get yourself into our databases, get yourself into our lives, get yourself into our community. It's real easy. It just takes a couple of minutes of your time and we need your support. And listen, we're at the end of the show, and we need your help. Please make that call and make that pledge. I want to thank everyone who called in. I particularly want to thank everyone who pledged, everyone who made a donation to this station to keep us on the air and to keep things going. And I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week with a whole lot more of the longest running, we hope, of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you, because as I kept saying this last couple of weeks, you're sick of hearing it. I don't care. We are solely member supported. Jazz 90.1. Please make that pledge. Get us over the top for this goal. We will see you in 166 hours.